40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off with African football. The fourth African Nations Championship begins Saturday in Kigali, Rwanda. Remember, VOA football fans, this is for locally based players in Africa, so we won't see European-based stars like Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the Gabonese striker, who was recently crowned the 2015 African Footballer of the Year and who's been banging in goals in the Bundesliga for Borussia Dortmund. The 16-team tournament in Rwanda will span 3 weeks, with the final to be played February 7th in Kigali. Joining us now for a look at the first-round groupings is our African football guru, David Legg.
Group A, based in Kigali, the matches will be in the Amahoro Stadium, which is the national stadium with a capacity of just over 20,000. Now, the seeding is Rwanda 1, because they're the host nation, Gabon 2, Morocco 3, and Ivory Coast 4. And in the opening matches, Rwanda play Ivory Coast, and then Gabon play Morocco. I've got a real problem with the seedings here, Sonny. My favorites are actually Morocco and the Ivory Coast. Of course, home advantage will help Rwanda considerably, but the Moroccans and the Ivorians were particularly impressive in their qualifying programs, so it's going to be fascinating to see how these opening matches on Saturday unfold. For all our listeners in East Africa, Rwanda play Ivory Coast at 1300 GMT. That's 3 p.m. Rwandan time. And then 3 hours later at 1600 GMT or 6 o'clock Rwandan time, it's Gabon against Morocco. On to Sunday, Sunny, and the venue this time is Butare. Here the seedings in Group B are 1, DR Congo, 2, Angola, 3, Cameroon, and 4, Ethiopia. My favorites to go through this group are DR Congo and Cameroon. In the opening matches, it's DR Congo against Ethiopia at 3 p.m. local time, and then Angola against Cameroon 3 hours later. Group C, of course, will have huge interest for many listeners to the Sunny Side of Sport, because among the teams are Nigeria. Nigeria, arguably the favorites to win this competition, but they're not the top seeds. That position is filled by Tunisia. Nigeria are the second seeds, based on the fact that they finished third in 2014 in South Africa. The third seeds are Niger, and the fourth seeds are Guinea. And in the opening matches on Monday, it's Guinea against Tunisia, followed by Niger against Nigeria. Now, I'm sure most Nigerian football fans don't need any reminder, Sonny, that it was Niger a couple of tournaments ago who caused a sensation by eliminating Nigeria from the qualifying competition for the African Nations Championship, which is also known in short as the CHAN. So I think it's going to be a very wary Nigerian side that will take on Niger. But that said, the Nigerians must be favorites to win this match and also go through to the quarterfinals, I would expect, with Tunisia. The final group, Group D, is in Gisenyi, and the seedings here are Zimbabwe 1, Mali 2, Uganda 3, and Zambia 4. This is a particularly difficult group to call. I'm at a loss, Sonny, really. I think Uganda could be one of the two qualifiers, possibly with Zimbabwe. Anyway, the opening matches, we've got some really appetizing ones. First of all, it's Zambia against Zimbabwe. That's two neighbors battling it out. And that will be followed by Mali against Uganda. And I'm going to be watching very closely in that match, Sonny, a certain 18-year-old in the Ugandan midfield, and that will be Farouk Mia. He's another name that we've been punting strongly on the Voice of America. Very promising young player, recently scored 3 goals in a World Cup qualifier as Uganda eliminated Togo. And he's certainly, to me, one to watch in 2016. So in Group D, all eyes on Farouk Mia. So we have two matches, Sonny, on Saturday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday. So after that, perhaps the air will have cleared a little bit. But it strikes me as a very open competition. I think it's a very brave person at this stage who would boldly predict who's going to win. If you just rewind quickly to 2014 in South Africa, nobody gave Libya a chance. And amazingly, Libya won the competition by winning just one of their 6 matches. They drew the other 5. But what they did in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and final is they proved to be experts when it came to penalty shootouts, converting kick after kick. So a fascinating competition, which goes on, Sonny, right through till February the 7th. That's when we'll have the final in Kigali. And at this stage, there's absolutely no chance that David Legg is going to stick his neck out and predict who will be in that match. I'm simply not taking that chance, Sonny. Very open indeed.
Finally, David, do you think we'll see a few European scouts checking out the African talent in Rwanda?
I would expect so, Sonny. I mean, these are the home-based players, and it's the dream, Sonny, of every African footballer to play in Europe. There are many reasons for that. It's the media coverage, and not insignificant factor is the fact that your salary shoots up. I mean, it is a fact that Yaya Toure, what he earns at Manchester City in 1 week is more than many Africans will earn in their lifetime. That is a fact. I'm not going to go into the figures, Sonny, because they change from day to day. But nevertheless, that is the power. That is the lure of football. You can earn a staggering amount of money when you go to Europe if you get to the top reaches. I've seen some figures for Yaya, Sonny, and I have to confess, I get just a little bit jealous especially at the moment with the South African rand is 23 to the British pound, so 1 British pound. Equals 23 rand. And when you convert what Yaya's earning, boy, that's an awful lot of money. So yes, Sonny, I think there'll be a fair number of scouts. They'll all head for Nairobi and then they'll get a connecting flight over to Kigali. And as we've mentioned on your show previously, it's going to be really interesting to see how this little landlocked country, Rwanda, stage this tournament. They've already held the CAF under 17 finals. They've done that well. They've done equally well, the CAF under 20 finals. The president, Paul Kagame, he is a very keen football fan, and he has said this will be a successful tournament. And on those very words alone, Sonny, I believe they will succeed. This is a man who takes personal involvement. You know, so often before a tournament, you hear this politician and that politician promising this, that, and the other. But to me, Kagame is a sleeves rolled up, hands-on man. I think he will have told his ministers and his football officials, I want a superb tournament, and I believe he's going to get it.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Major League Soccer held its annual draft of college players Thursday in Baltimore, Maryland, about 64 kilometers north of our VOA headquarters here in Washington. With the first pick, the Chicago Fire selected Wake Forest midfielder Jack Harrison. The Fire then traded him to New York City FC for the number 4 choice, which Chicago then used on Stanford defender Brandon Vincent. With the second pick, the Philadelphia Union chose Joshua Yarrow, a defender from Ghana who played 3 seasons for Georgetown University here in Washington.
It has been a long road and it has been a tough one, but I'm grateful for everything that happened and all the things that happened to make me who I am today. You know, coming from Ghana to Santa Barbara to Georgetown and now here and to Philly, it's been a really great road, and it's been a really fun one and a learning experience, and something that has helped build me up as a person. And it hasn't been easy, but at last I can look back and say it was worth it.
Joshua Yarrow says it was also worth it to focus not just on soccer at Georgetown, but also on academics. Josh is close to getting his degree in international relations and anthropology.
One thing that I'll say is, and a lot of kids that play soccer in Ghana do not really take the education seriously. And for me, it was a big thing. And so if I had one advice, it's that, you know, you can be a pro soccer player and you can have your degree will be close to being done, and never really throw away your education, because you never know when that's going to come in handy. And just pursue both because it's possible, and I've been through it and seen that it's tough, but at the end you're going to look back and you're going to really enjoy it.
Joshua Yarrow will now have to adapt to a much more grueling schedule in Major League Soccer. So says the soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper, Stephen Goff.
It's always difficult with first-year players who come out of college, because college soccer is just such a short season. It's 3 months, you know, maybe 20, 25 games, and you're done. MLS is a 9-month haul. So it takes a toll on rookies, especially when you get into summer and into the second half of the season. But he's a terrific athlete, and I think that gives him an advantage. He knows the game so well. He reads the game so well. And so I would imagine he will probably be a starter in this league right away. Hard to say who else Philadelphia. I mean, they've signed some foreign players also, but he's definitely in the mix to play regularly, for sure.
That's Stephen Goff, the soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper. And Stephen was talking to VOA at the annual Major League Soccer Draft in Baltimore, Maryland. In pro boxing, undefeated WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder of the USA makes his third title defense Saturday night when he fights Poland's Artur Spielka in Brooklyn, New York. How have your preparations been going, Deontay?
Well, the preparations for this fight has been crazy. It's been exciting, you know, due to the fact that Spielka wasn't my original fighter. So we was looking forward to a right-hander, and he's a southpaw, so we had to change up all our regimens from an orthodox fighter to a southpaw fighter, canceled a lot of flights, brought a lot of sparring partners in. I haven't sparred or competed against a southpaw in 3 years, so it brought back that challenge to my brain of why I love a southpaw, and I love a pressure fighter too. That's the most two things I love in boxing, to face an opponent that's a southpaw and a pressure fighter. So it was great. I'm ready to perform come Saturday.
Come Saturday, Deontay Wilder will be looking for his 36th consecutive victory. Nicknamed the Bronze Bomber, Wilder is known for his punching power. 34 of his 35 wins have come by knockout. Now, some of our VOA boxing fans might be wondering, Sonny, how did Wilder come up with that nickname, the Bronze Bomber? Well, it's partly in tribute to the late great heavyweight Joe Louis. Louis, like Deontay Wilder, was from Alabama, and Joe Louis's nickname was the Brown Bomber. So Deontay likes to call himself the Bronze Bomber. And while the Bronze Bomber holds the WBC title belt, British fighter Tyson Fury holds several others in the heavyweight division. Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, says his goal is to be the undisputed world heavyweight champion, and he won't stop until he accomplishes that.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC. One of our big football stories this week on the Sunny Side of Sports was Lionel Messi and Carly Lloyd being named the Male and Female World Footballers of the Year for 2015 by FIFA, the sport's international governing body. Let's look back now on those big victories by Messi and Carly Lloyd. Barcelona and Argentina superstar Messi won FIFA's Ballon d'Or trophy for the fifth time in 7 years. And American midfielder Carly Lloyd won her first ever FIFA Women's Player of the Year award at the ceremony in Zurich, Switzerland.
It's very rewarding. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of tough times, frustrating times. But if you stay the course and you never lose sight of what you want to accomplish in life, it's all possible. So tonight is just a recognition of everything that I've been through, and hats off to my teammates as well.
Carly Lloyd's teammates won the Women's World Cup trophy for a record third time last July in Vancouver, Canada. The USA beat defending champion Japan 5-2 in the final, and Lloyd sparkled in the championship match. Carly scored 3 goals, including a remarkable strike from midfield. Carly Lloyd also scored in the round of 16, the quarterfinals, and the semifinals, and she won the Golden Ball as best player at the Women's World Cup. The 33-year-old Lloyd also tied with Germany's Celia Sasic for the scoring crown with 6 goals apiece. Sasic was also a finalist for the FIFA Women's Player of the Year award. She says Lloyd was a deserving winner.
When you play, you always want to win. That's true. And but for me, it was really an honor to be on the 3 nominees with such great players. And I think Carly is really a good winner, and she deserves it because she played an amazing World Cup. So I enjoyed the whole evening.
Meanwhile, I think you can say Jill Ellis enjoyed the whole evening in Zurich, too. Ellis guided the American women to the World Cup title in Canada last year. and she was named FIFA's Women's Coach of the Year for 2015.
It's great. It's a tremendous honor and obviously represents a lot of people, and always want to thank our players and our staff for doing such a great job. But I'm immensely proud. I never thought out when I started this career that I'd end up here, so it's a dream. Coaching's a roller coaster. You just got to put your seatbelt on and enjoy the ride. And so there's ups and downs, but this is certainly a big up.
Buckle up and enjoy the ride, coach. That's Jill Ellis, who directed the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team to its third world title last year in Canada. And Spanish manager Luis Enrique of Barcelona received the Men's Coach of the Year trophy during the festivities in Zurich.
Voice of America!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Sporty greetings.
If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942. When you hear the VOA identification, press 60. And please include your name and where you are calling from.
I love Sunny Side of Sports!
In golf, an Englishman leads after two rounds of the Johannesburg Open in South Africa. Mark Tompkins reports from Johannesburg.
Englishman Ross McGowan takes a three-shot lead into the third round of the Joburg Open after an impressive 62 today, which included two eagles and just one drop shot on the West course. And he leads Felipe Aguilar, Anthony Wall, Hayden Porteous and John Hugo by three. Wall finished with an eagle on the 18th on the East course to shoot a round of 67. 65 for Aguilar, who's put in two consistent rounds over the opening 2 days of the competition. Irishman Paul Dunne had to pull out of the SA Open on the eve of the tournament last week due to illness, shot an excellent 63 to play himself into contention at 9 under par. But when play resumes tomorrow, it's Ross McGowan, the man to catch at the top. He's on 14 under par and has a three-shot lead.
Started well today, opened up with two birdies. Went a bit flat for a few holes, and then obviously on the back nine, fireworks happened.
We're picking up the eagles. You got back-to-back eagles last week in the SA Open, and another two eagles on the card today.
Yes, yeah, I hold a wedge at 12 today, which is nice, and then hit two great shots into the par 5. So I had about 15, 20 feet there for eagle, and managed to hold that one as well.
Again, you look, you know, we all talk about the magical 59. You shot a 62 today. I mean, do you ever start thinking about that during the course of the round when things are going well?
No, I think I would have needed to be a few shots better on the front line to even consider it. But yeah, we've been close before in Madrid, shot 60, so you never know. Try and get on the East course tomorrow and go low again.
That's Englishman Ross McGowan, the leader after two rounds of the Johannesburg Open Golf Tournament in South Africa. And Ross was talking with reporter Mark Tompkins in Johannesburg. As the birthplace and training ground of many of the world's finest middle and long distance runners, Kenya has recently been shaken by news that several of its athletes failed drug tests, leading to their suspensions. There are accusations that Kenya's Athletics Federation is not doing enough to tackle doping. VOA's Jill Craig has more from Nairobi.
A country known for producing some of the world's premier distance runners has recently found itself in the spotlight for the use of illegal performance-enhancing drugs. The International Association of Athletics Federations announced in November it has been investigating Kenya since March for allegations of covering up doping. 24-year-old Samuel Njuguna is a Kenyan pole vaulter and marathoner. He says it is not good that some of his fellow athletes have been involved in the scandal.
Maybe you may come number one, but it's not a perfect. It's not fair to others because can you imagine I'm working hard to work on that and someone is using drugs? It's discouraging.
Kenya banned seven athletes in November for doping offenses, raising the number of drug cases to 40 in the past 3 years. This includes two female sprinters sent home from the recent World Championships in Beijing. Retired General Jackson Tuwe is the acting president of Athletics Kenya, the country's national association. He says in all local and international competitions, athletes are tested for doping in what he calls a very elaborate exercise.
Let me say very clearly that is not a systemic problem. I think these are purely individual problems. And we want to say that it's a small proportion, but we, of course, would like to have nothing of that.
Tuwe is acting president of Athletics Kenya because the IAAF provisionally suspended three senior Kenyan athletics officials for 180 days. The officials are accused of subverting the anti-doping control process in Kenya and the improper diversion of funds received from Nike through a sponsorship deal. Juguna says these allegations tarnish Kenya's athletic reputation.
Which also diminishes in our country. And you know our country is the first from the world with athletics. And it's not good because it also has some not good image. The image is not good for our country.
The International Olympic Committee asked Kenya's Olympic Committee, as well as the World Anti-Doping Agency, to ensure an efficient out-of-competition testing program for athletes in all sports. In November, the Kenyan government set up a national anti-doping organization and gave it the authority to carry out tests and prosecute cases. Tuwe says Athletics Kenya does not have the power or capacity to investigate or prosecute, so he is pleased the government set up this new agency.
And so we are working very closely. We're very, very closely with that team. And we believe that we are going to make very good progress.
In a statement provided to VOA, the World Anti-Doping Agency said it is assisting with the development of the Kenyan anti-doping program. It said that while progress has been made, there is still a lot of work required. The agency said it is waiting for concrete plans from the government to fund and finalize the anti-doping rules. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Our African football guru, David Legg, returns now with his latest quiz.
Which club has qualified the most times to compete in the CAF Champions League? And that includes the former name of the competition. It was then known as the African Cup of Champions Clubs. So what we're talking about, Sonny, is way back to 1964 when this competition started. So it's between 1964 and 2015. Which club has qualified the most times to compete in the CAF Champions League?
2016 is a leap year, David, so we're going to set a deadline of Monday, February 29th, to get your entries in. David and I will now tell you where you can send your entries.
VOA!
It's David.leg, and leg is spelled L-E-G-G-E. At AFP, that's Agence France Presse, .com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's David.leg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com.
The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sunny@voanews.com. Sonny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237. And the first three people with correct answers to David Legg's quiz, we'll get some of those delightful VOA goodies.
And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.